Welcome back. It's Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio News. I'm George Prentice. Kurt Ziegler is here. He works the national desk for NPR. He's based out of NPR's West Coast operations in Culver City, California. He's a Montana native. He's distinguished himself as one of the best reporters on our nation's rural-urban divide and how it manifests in politics. He has spent considerable time in and around Idaho, including his reporting on the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge standoff and his reporting on the ramifications of the tremendous growth spurt in Boise. You may know him best for his superb reporting from the scene of the recent campfire in Paradise, California. And for our purposes, he'll be the special guest this week at Story Fort, part of the Treford Music Fest. Kirk Ziegler will be in Boise this Thursday at an event sponsored by Boise State Public Radio. And in anticipation of that event, we're lucky that he can visit with us for a few minutes on Idaho Matters. Let's say hi to Kirk Ziegler.
Hello. That was a very overly generous introduction there. I appreciate it, though.
Well, from our perspective, not too generous. We're anxious for your visit. Kirk, there used to be a thing here in Idaho and in the West called fire season. It's not really a season so much anymore. It's pretty much a constant.
Yeah, it's a year-round phenomenon for a lot of locations. In fact, there in Boise, of course, you have the National Interagency Fire Center, so your listeners know it probably more than the average person around the country. We are seeing year-round fire seasons in some locations, particularly Southern California, where I'm talking to you right now. We're seeing lengthening fire seasons, especially there in the Northern Rockies. We're seeing more erratic weather, more large wind events, much like what fueled the campfire in Paradise, California. And it's a big issue that, you know, for many of us out here in the West who have been covering for a long time, and many, many communities know it all too well, the realities of this on the ground. But I think it's becoming more of an issue with much broader national implications as these, as you say, the fire season becomes year round and as these events just get worse and worse.
And yet they just keep coming. So please talk to me about covering a massive wildfire and maybe the evolution of how you approach that coverage.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I had almost become desensitized to covering, and I mean that not in any way, you know, to discount the level of devastation and personal tragedy affecting so many people now, but I'd almost become kind of desensitized covering so many fires, particularly here in California, Washington State, Colorado, where they've become urban wildfires. They're not, or urban fires. These aren't the forest fires that, you know, even I remember from Yellowstone in 1988 growing up. These are urban fires. And I was desensitized almost coming into Paradise, but I have to tell you, arriving in Paradise, once we could actually see the devastation, because the smoke was so thick, of course, and get up into it, I was shocked. And I say that kind of surprisingly, because I've seen a lot of bad fires, but I had never seen anything like this. And that is what you hear when you travel around up there, even 4 or 5 months later now. The scale of the destruction is horrific. We're talking, you know, it's often billed as a town of Paradise. The town of Paradise officially is its name, but this was a city of 27,000 people and a very suburban place built out into the woods. And much of it, 90% of its housing stock is wiped out. A large portion of its business district is wiped out. The level of destruction was like nothing I'd ever seen when it comes to a wildfire. We had a couple colleagues of mine were veteran correspondents overseas who'd cover conflict overseas and likened it to looking like, you know, some of the stuff they had seen in war zones. Just the level of destruction. And now the cleanup is totally staggering. It's a huge issue that raises a lot of bigger implications. But yes, covering the fire was certainly, of course, challenging, not to mention the emotional toll on so many people there. We had never seen in modern times a death toll that striking at from a wildfire. And there are a lot of implications that this is the sort of the portent of what's to come, that this, unfortunately, is the reality we're dealing with, and it could get worse.
What was that death toll?
85. I do believe there may be one or two people that they're still technically listed as unaccounted for, but that's the certainly the deadliest wildfire in California history, and it is the deadliest wildfire in American history in more than a century.
And talk a little bit more, though, about returning to paradise, and paint us a word picture of what that recovery is like, or and how challenging it is.
You know, it's interesting. I'll probably show a similar photo at my talk this week, but I showed a photo presenting to a group recently of the Safeway, or what's left of the Safeway in Paradise, just completely rubble and chaos. And I said that actually I took that photo just a couple weeks ago, and there was an audible gasp in the room. That gives you a sense for it. I think people had seen the photo and thought and looked at some of the destruction and thought that was just taken in November, a couple of days after the fire. No, this is still a very active debris removal and cleanup situation up there, one that may go on for a year, perhaps even longer. And so that is the it's almost as if there's just one thing after another for many of these survivors of the fire. So maybe they were allowed, maybe they were lucky enough to get out. They've been living with friends in nearby Chico. Maybe they've been lucky enough to get a hotel room. Or in many cases, people have just left. There are many stories, actually, of people who are survivors of the Paradise Fire moving to Idaho, to Oregon. This touches on a lot of things. I apologize if I'm sounding scattered, but there are so many issues that have come up in the wake of this fire, and so many bigger picture issues of a natural disaster like this occurring in a largely rural area that was underserved to begin with and didn't have enough housing even before the fire.
And that's really where we plug into this story from outside of Paradise, in that we can pretty quickly relate to what may happen.
Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing is there are many potential paradises. You can just open up a map of the West, Idaho, California, Utah. There are a lot of communities that are quite vulnerable right now, and there are a lot of people living in very high-risk zones. The technical term for it is the wildland-urban interface. That's where you've seen a lot of explosion of not just home development, infrastructure, Rite Aids, shopping centers, bowling alleys, in the case of Paradise, all built up into forests that have not burned for more than a century in some cases because of our history of fire suppression, places where there has not been active brush clearing and other defensible space and other things around homes. You had a huge buildup of fuels. And, you know, with climate change, it's almost as if the faucet's been turned off in a lot of these places and the temperature's been turned up. It's not just a climate change issue. It's a number of different things. It's a forest management issue. It's a development in high risk zones issue, but it's also a climate change issue. And these are real impacts that we're seeing on the ground, whether it be in Paradise, could be Idaho next summer, it could be, you know, anywhere. And I think if there's anything good to come out of this, there are people who are looking very hard at Paradise and asking the questions, is this going to be, you know, a game changer? Is this going to change how we develop, how we build in areas? The one thing that Paradise really brought to light is a lot of people, certainly some people lived in Paradise because they liked the country life, but a lot of people lived there because they had to. That's the only affordable housing. So there are a lot of big things that are starting to be looked at in the wake of Paradise. And as I said, the amount of cleanup that has to be done that's really just started is going to give that community some time to potentially get things right. And if you talk to the mayor, she'll tell you we could be a model. So that all kind of remains to be seen. But it's certainly something we have dedicated resources to as a network to following through with and tracking what happens in Paradise. Is it a game changer for fires, but more broadly natural disasters and in an era of climate change across the country?
In anticipation of your visit, I'd also be remiss if I didn't ask you to talk a little bit about the state of broadcast journalism in 2019. You're in as good a position as anyone else to talk about broadcast journalism in general, NPR in particular. Or you're out there walking the walk.
I'm relatively young in broadcast journalists compared to some of my colleagues, but it is remarkable that we are still as robust as we are. Even when I started, people, you know, back in 2003 would be like, you're crazy, you're going into broadcast news, that's not the future. But here we still are. And in fact, we have a lot more opportunities. We have a lot more platforms to get our work out. I was just in my normal beat is the urban-rural divide. I was in Western Colorado recently and did a story about some coal miners who were being retrained to work in broadband. Well, we did a story for that on our network on Morning Edition, but there was also an opportunity to let that story breathe a little bit, and a 12-minute version of that aired on our Planet Money podcast. So we're in a pretty good position. We are also in a, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, we're also in a very uncertain time for broadcast news. We've watched the cable news networks go one way. We at NPR, hopefully we are not going that same direction. Hopefully we are still the trusted source of news with actual reporting going on in the ground. After the election, I spent a good deal of time going back and forth to Orofino, Idaho, in North Idaho, where there's been a number of timber mill closures in that region. We're here on the ground telling stories from communities from the ground up, and not telling them from a certain politician's point of view. That's our goal. You know, we have our ups and downs, and we're not perfect. But I think if I had to sum up, the state of the broadcast news business, at least from NPR's standpoint, is pretty healthy. There aren't a lot of networks that can say they're still hiring reporters. We are, and are still devoting resources to long-term coverage, much like we've been talking about in Paradise, California.
Kirk Ziegler appears at a special story for this Thursday at noon at the Owyhee in downtown Boise. The event is free. You should probably get there early. Grab a seat. Kirk, safe journey to you. We look forward to your visit.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.